Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedar Sart.
I live for these moments.
I'm glad to hear that.
It took me a while to get to the point where I enjoyed recording and I wasn't just scared the whole time.
Yeah.
Because who in the right mind gave me a microphone?
I feel the same way, honestly. Still, like, and that's a kind
I know
of
I've said
a,
that before.
Kind of a like peek behind a curtain, if you will, I guess, mentally for us. Like, I come in, I mean, we're prepared. We have our notes. We know what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But I sit down, I'm like, what in the world am I doing here?
I know. It's like, this is going on how many radio stations?
Yeah, I know.
So I mean, we may not have the most prime radio spot.
Sure.
I don't know,
and I kind of hope not. But if you are listening and you listen occasionally to us, I want to say thank you. Like, I mean, honestly. And I've had a few people come to me and say, hey, I listened to you on the radio. I'm like, wow, I forgot people actually did that.
I've had a few recognize me at events, like after I start talking, and they're like, oh, you do? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just something I don't think, even if I was one of the more recognizable radio hosts, I don't think I could get used to it.
Right. It is always like, oh, man, what do you say? Well, thank you so much, you know?
But, yeah. Sometimes I give tours around the building. And by the way, if you did do a tour, make sure to contact ahead and plan that and have it scheduled so we have somebody that can give you a tour. But sometimes I've given tours and they are asking about certain people, and then I watch if we're able to make that connection so they can talk to someone that they listen to. I'm like, how do you navigate that? How does it not just blow your mind?
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, people listen to me? Oh, my goodness.
It is crazy, but I'm glad that we do have this opportunity, because, I mean, I was thinking about, you know, it's very easy, especially, you know, we just had our meeting in the Stand Department, which is our magazine, you know, publication branch of the organization here.
AFA.net/the Stand,
exactly.
If you want to know more.
We just had our meeting kind of laying out what we're doing for December, because we're working way ahead of things. And it's easy to kind of get caught up in that nitty gritty of like, okay, well, this thing is due in this point in time, and I need to get this interview, and it needs to be this long, all that kind of stuff. And then it's really good, and I've done this for the past couple of weeks, and it's been really nice and grounding. It's to be like, look, my job when I come to AFA, my job is to write articles and produce or record for a radio program that are helpful for Christians. And I think I'm very thankful for that, and I really hope that's what we're doing here. I hope that the conversations we're able to have and people are listening to, I hope that they do find it helpful and edifying, because that's our goal. That really is our goal.
And a lot of the things that we talk about are things that we are thinking about,
or
we know somebody that has discussed it, or maybe like today we pull like inspiration from a article, and this is one that I actually read that Jordan wrote on the Stand, and it's titled "Living Like Christ Is Your Treasure," and that title. When I was actually going through, I was actually creating a Facebook post. I was trying to for the Stand. I haven't used this one yet. Don't worry, I will.
Oh, sure.
Because
yeah.
it's a really, but this article pulled at me, and so I read it, and you know what? It got me. You know, it got me. It stepped on my toes.
Yeah, me too. I mean, going back and reading it again, because
you're like, it hurt my own feelings.
Yeah, I think this is a republish, honestly, but I wrote it a while back. But yeah, going back over it, it's like, oh wow, yeah. These are some. I'm glad that I wrote these thoughts down, and because they do. They are convicting, even from the past. To read again. But yeah, coincidentally, like last Sunday, my pastor preached on this.
It happens so much. It happens to me too.
Yeah.
I'll be talking about something or maybe complaining about something, and then I get into church and my pastor will start preaching.
Yeah.
And it feels like he's preaching at me.
Yeah.
Like I can almost feel his eyes looking at me like the Lord told him, like, this is for Cedra, get
that's
her,
good.
You know?
Yeah, that's really
and,
good.
But that's how you know your pastor is listening to God.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? That's one of the things, like, when you know that God is using his message to reach you, you're like, I mean, God delivered that message to your pastor.
Right.
Not, I mean, for others as well, but for you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, so you can go and read this article or this blog post on AFA.net/the Stand.
Yeah.
It's up there currently. It'll probably be up on the front page of the stand.
I think you have to click load more at the bottom. Scroll like one time.
Yeah.
But again, it's titled Living Like Christ is Your Treasure. Or you can go to the author's page and click on Jordan Chambly.
Yeah, and you'll see all of the stuff that I've written for the stand, the blog stand there anyway.
Yeah. But also there is a print magazine that you can get monthly to your home. Mm-hmm. And I believe if you've not received it before, if you're new, you can receive it for six months for free. Mm-hmm. So then you can check it out and see if you want to continue receiving it.
And I highly recommend doing that, both the blog, but, especially the print magazine. A lot of care and attention goes into that, putting that together. And, I work with a lot of really great and talented people. I mean, honestly, I'm like, there's no way that I am as talented as they are, because they're just super detail oriented and they catch things when we go over the edits and stuff. And we have a new member of the team, Bailey, who's doing a wonderful job doing some graphic design for us. And, I'm blessed to work as a part of this team, but a lot of care and attention goes into that. It's a really well-crafted magazine.
And I know some people are more towards online, and people say we're moving online.
Yeah,
you know, print is not such a big thing anymore. But here's what I say about print: whenever you're trying to reach somebody with a message, or you want someone to look at something, I can share this magazine with somebody, and maybe they won't look at it. Maybe they'll throw it in their car or throw it on a table and stuff. But it's there looking at them.
Yeah.
If I give them a link, they're not going to go look at that, most likely.
Exactly. It's a little bit harder to ignore if it's taking up actual space.
Yeah. and maybe that will be the thing that'll, you know, if you share, if you like the magazine, you receive it, you read it, and then you can pass it on to somebody you think would benefit from the message there. And maybe it's somebody who you've been trying to reach. And like I said, they may or may not read it, but maybe they'll just throw it on their table at home. But maybe at some point they'll pick it up and start flipping through it.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I highly recommend y'all go check that out. Again, afa.net/thestand. You can look at all the links there. But this particular blog post, it was kind of inspired by this idea. We talk a lot in Christian circles about, obviously Jesus is the most important thing to us, right?
It should be.
It should be, definitely. He is the foundation of our faith, and he is really what sets Christianity apart from all the other religious offerings that the world has. I mean, there is no other religion, at least none that I can think of, where there is this idea of fallen, sinful, mortal humanity allowed to take part in a peaceful and sort of like family relationship with a holy, all righteous God.
Yeah.
Because of a sacrifice that was made. That is not something that you find, especially one where God himself came and was that sacrifice that made that possible. So we say a lot of things about how important Jesus is to us, but the blog post is a challenge for Christians to actually demonstrate that in our day-to-day lives, which is easier said than done. It really is. It really is.
Well, you used a term, and it's a term that I remember rolling my eyes at, because it just seems so, like you said, it's so cliche. Mm. Sold out for Jesus.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
I grew up in the youth group
youth
at
group
church,
mm-hmm.
and that is a term that if you were at a youth event, that was going to get
It was radical.
The thing is, but who stopped to think about what that truly means? And you kind of went into what that means.
Yeah.
And you used the idea of going to a movie that's sold out.
Mm-hmm.
That means there's nothing left.
Right.
And that's how we should be. We
yeah.
should be so sold out for Christ that there's nothing left of us.
Right.
It all is in him.
Yeah. And honestly, that's the part right there that will be, I think, a permanent conviction for all Christians. Because there is a point where it's like, we're not going to be perfect in that. We aren't. And that's why we have Jesus. I mean, that's why he is necessary, is because we are always going to fall short in one way or another.
If we were going to be perfect, we wouldn't have needed
exactly.
Christ to die for
us. So when it comes to, everything in your life should really be caught up in perfect alignment with who he is, and we should be absolutely sold out. But that's an ongoing process, and we talk a lot about sanctification, a lot of Christians talk about sanctification. It's a very important thing.
It's work.
It's work. And yeah. Thankfully, it's a work that the Holy Spirit does and we participate in. But that is something that is an ongoing thing that we will reach the end of one day, but not yet.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, so it's more of a continual selling out for Jesus, that we are working on. But yeah, if you go to the movies, you're trying to find, get into the one that you were looking forward to for a long time. They say, sorry, we're sold out. It means that there's no seats left. And that should be the way we are with Jesus is when the world comes to us and knocks on the door of our heart to say, hey, can I get this thing? Can I get this part of you? It's like, sorry, it's all sold out. There's nothing left because we've given it all to Jesus. And that it sounds so cliche, and I know people might be like reaching for the dial to listen to something a bit more profound. But really, if we kind of sit there for a little bit and think about it, I think eventually the Holy Spirit will start tugging at our hearts and say, yeah, that's something that we all need to hear every day.
Now, Jordan, serious question.
Uh-oh.
Does that mean that Jesus comes before your family?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. This is me just playing the part.
Right.
And that's a hard, I think that's such a hard one. And I think that's where most people falter.
Yeah.
Because you start doing all these things for your family.
Right.
As you should. Mm-hmm. God put you, Jordan, head of the house.
Yes.
He gave you a role. He gave your wife a role. Mm-hmm. And y'all are supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But it's never supposed to crowd out your time with God.
Right.
And that's a hard, because you start building this life and you want the best for everybody. And then you're like, well, that means you want your kids to get into a good school and stuff. So you start focusing hardcore, like you get them involved in some sort of sports and you focus on grades. Great. I'm not telling people that grades and stuff are not important.
Right.
I mean, education is important. Learning is important. But whenever you are never going to church because you're always doing a game or something like that, then there seems to be an issue. Mm. You know, you're too tired in the afternoons because you have got three kids and they are all doing at least two sports, and you're constantly you're like, nope.
Not our kids. I mean, they're totally, they can, but they haven't expressed a desire to. Thankfully.
Yeah, you're right. Thankfully, we're not going to talk about
we
it.
We are a nerd family.
But in your drive, and that's not even just sports. I mean, like there are times when people let the drive to be high on the academic list get them, and then you tend to push out the actual meaningful, important things in your life.
Yeah.
Like your Bible reading, your scripture time, and your time with God, and your praying, and because you're just so wrapped up in this, like, got to get in a good school so you can get a good career, make money for their family, and it's just a never-ending cycle.
Yeah. Conversely, and I think there's two ways to kind of fail here, I guess, is exactly what you said, is sacrificing, you know, having nothing to give to Jesus, or maybe just a little tiny bit, you know, like, oh, here's, you know, you can have this piece of me. You can have me on Sundays and Wednesdays and, you know, special Bible times.
Studies.
But other than that, I'm going to really be focused on my stuff. But then there's the other side. And I think that no one really ever does this, but this is like an ideal that some people strive for, is this, like, I'm going to be so devoted that I'm going to neglect everything else in my life, where it's like you don't fulfill the roles that God has given you. So it would be wrong for me to leave my family, say, hey, I'm going to go and I'm sold out for Jesus. I'm going to go.
I'm about to go to a foreign country, and I will see you in a year.
And I'm going to be, and I'm going to leave this, you know, this family, and I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to be doing this, and you won't hear from me. That's an extreme example, but that happens and has happened sometimes, and that would also be wrong. So, like, the way I think of it is, if you imagine a king and he has his servants, the king is obviously the most important thing in their lives, but it'd be wrong for them to just be in the throne room all the time, just staring at him, not doing what they're supposed to be doing, not following
doing
his orders.
Yeah.
Not serving.
The kingdom's
him.
Falling apart outside because the servants aren't working.
Exactly. So I think, and I think that the Bible would agree, hopefully that, you know,
I hope so.
But, I think that my love for my wife, my love for my children, and the service that I do for them is not separate from, but it's wrapped up in and included in my love for and my service to Jesus. And so as a person who's hopefully selling out continually for Jesus, a part of that process is me learning how to be a better father and learning how to be a better husband, learning how to exemplify a Christ-like attitude in the home, and drawing closer to Jesus in my own personal walk that can be seen by my children and my wife. And not, you know, this separatist, I'm going to, you know, be a monk now and I'm going to swear off all things but church. That's not the way it needs to be at all. We need to be in the real world because that's the world that Jesus is concerned mm-hmm. with. And so we need to be serving him here. And that looks like, you know, wherever you are in your life, whatever roles God has given you, doing it as unto him.
Yeah. And that means while you're out there living your normal life, you're going to your normal job mm-hmm. and providing for your family, people can see mm-hmm. something different about you.
Yeah.
In the way that you talk, in the way that you interact with people, maybe, and again, I understand this is a hard place to get to,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, maybe you don't get angry and throw a fit over this thing because God has been working with you about, you know, your anger issues. And maybe when someone comes up to you, you hear someone like laughing at the way someone is dressed or stuff, you don't participate in that. And you show love towards that person because, you know, you have a Christ-like mindset. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't mean you completely separate yourself from everybody in just... Don't get me wrong. Missionaries are very important.
Yes, yes.
And if you are single mm-hmm. and you don't have any kids, then by all means.
This is what Paul said.
If you're listening to God and he's telling you, but I guarantee you that if you do have a family, you're not being called to stay away from your, and I'm not talking about a week or a 2 week trip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about like a long-term move away from your family trip.
Yeah.
We've talked about this before, I believe, with our friend John Darnell mm-hmm. at Global Outreach. And mm-hmm. and people, you know, questioning like, is your family going with you? When he and his family were on the mission field. And he was like, what are you talking about? Of course my family's going with
right,
me.
Right, yeah.
Like, why would I go and leave my family behind?
Mm-hmm.
Because it is his job to take care of them,
yeah.
to look over them, and to lead them as God intended.
Yeah. And this is something, too, I think I've had conversations and interviewed pastors about this very thing, where the pressures of ministry at a church will oftentimes crowd out unintentionally some really important family connections.
Yeah.
And that's like a constant battle because you have a whole church to look after. You have a bunch of people who always need something, who have real deep spiritual needs and always need to talk to you about something. And so, I mean, that right there is a full plate. But on top of that, you have children and a wife, and they've got spiritual needs it is different than just members of your church. They're not just members of your church. They've been given to you, you know, to take care of your wife, to be a partner with and to work together with, and your kids to guide and to make sure that they have everything that they need physically and spiritually. So I think it's really important in this kind of conversation for Christians to be aware of what's going on with their pastors. So maybe you're not a pastor, maybe you don't have that particular struggle, but be aware of, hey, you know, maybe I need to support my pastor in that, because as he's striving to be sold out for Jesus, we as a congregation need to make sure that a part of that is him being able to be a dad and a husband if he has a family.
I mean, that goes for any part of the church, I mean, like, that you're working with.
Yeah.
And this goes for, you know, mother, father, whoever. If you are devoting so much of yourself to that role in the church that your kids are losing out, that will affect them.
Yeah. And that's not, I mean, when you talk about ministering, how is this looking for your children if they see you, you know, talking about all these great gospel truths and loving and everything, but you always tend to put them on the back burner so that you can do your thing at the church that you're getting so much fulfillment out of. And there are good things, but you are sort of slacking in the other probably more important areas of discipling your own children. That could end up being years of bitterness. And I mean, that's something also that I've heard pastors talk about. But I do think it is a good thing for Christians to come together and support each other in, especially people who work in the church, and just make sure, hey, that everyone has their priorities in order. And as we are serving Christ the King, we are doing all of our jobs well. And that's why, you know, working together is very important.
Yeah. Well, you asked three particular questions here that – and I'm not going to read everything under it, but I'm going to read the questions. Mm-hmm. Where do your thoughts go? Yeah. Are you easily distracted? Would you rather think of other things? I think that fits with not just someone who is thinking of worldly things, but the person in the role of the pastor, youth pastor, whatever it may be, working in the church. If God is trying to call, like, is trying to teach you something, but all you can think about is, we have, you know, this event coming up at church.
Yeah.
And I got to make sure we have this curriculum, and I got to make and before you know it, you can't crowd out all of that and spend time on the, you know, in the Word and spend time with your family.
Mm.
I mean, I think because you this stuff, you know, we could easily have just went like, are you thinking about is worldly things that too?
Yeah.
But I think this also covers people whose minds are so wrapped up in running, running a church that are not bad things, and they are very important things. But if that's all that you're thinking about, then there's a problem.
Yeah, and I do think like those three questions are, it's a good way to sort of do a self-check and to see like, is your heart given to Jesus like in the present moment? Like, have I slipped into, you know, being obsessed with other things to the expense of any sort of thoughts being given to God? Just being like, okay, so. In my day-to-day life, in my downtime, when I don't have anything to think about that's pressing, just not very often, but where do my thoughts go? So, like, do I start thinking about the game? Do I start thinking about the TV show that I watch? Like, what am I thinking about? What is my mind going to just out of habit? And that's the kind of thing right there is, like, what mental habits have you created? What thought patterns have you just created in your mind? And that'll tell you right away. It's like, you really love thinking about this more than most other things. And I don't want people to go too crazy with that. Like, obviously, you're not going to be perfect.
You can enjoy some entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We're not saying you can't.
Yeah, absolutely. But if there is no habitual, you know, there is no thought pattern that you just go to ever, you know, that has anything to do with God and with Jesus, that might be just sort of like a light going on the dashboard, you know, where it's like, hey, just check in, you know? Don't act like, oh my goodness, I'm, you know, going to hell now. It's not that. Just go to the Lord and to say, hey, I want to check in. I want to be close to you, and I want to heal a relationship if that needs to happen. But I think it's a good discipline to have, is just every so often do a little bit of self-examination.
Yeah, and this is another, we were talking about the sold out for Jesus being one of those like cliche things you hear sometimes, but I'm going to say this one, accountability partner. That's one you hear now and people don't take it seriously.
Yeah.
Like, you know, will you be my accountability partner? And then y'all don't ever actually do anything with that. But for real, find somebody in your life and you have one at home.
Yeah, I do.
You know, and that's someone that you can kind of, y'all can keep each other in check. You're like, hey, you know, your wife can come to you and be like, hey, Jordan, I've noticed you spent just a little bit extra time playing those video games. And your kids are over here and they want, the same, you know, find somebody in your life that can kind of help keep you in check.
Yeah.
And make it a serious commitment.
Yeah. And if you're involved in a church, you likely already have that person. If you're involved in a small group, there's your people. I think as a member of ongoing small groups and things like that, you know, usually you get done with the book study, you get done with the Bible study, and what are you going to talk about? You know, when you go over to the veggie plate and start eating a little snack, what are you talking about? And sometimes it's good and edifying, and sometimes it's not. And I'm not saying that you always have to be, you know, talking. Again, you don't have to be preachers to each other necessarily.
You can just talk about for fun things.
Yeah, yeah. But there is opportunities there for just saying, hey, how are you doing? You know, not to be a nosy person, but what's going on in your life? Is there any way I can pray for you? Just those small ways to be able to open up for other people to share with you and for you to share with them. I think that oftentimes that's kind of missing in churches where we're happy to let the preacher say
people
the spiritual things.
People come in and they sit down in their pew, and then after the service they jet out of there.
Yeah, yeah. And so we need to be able to shoulder each other's burdens and to show that we are open to that, and and help each other out as we are in this process of selling out for Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, that'll kind of bring us to the end of this discussion. Again, you can go to afa.net/thesand if you want to read this blog post and all of the other great blog posts out there about all sorts of people.
Yeah. And if you want to listen to more of us or not, or, you know, there's tons of other podcasts available at afr.net. And there's some there that maybe fit more your situation or just maybe you like to listen to that one more. That's fine.
Yeah.
But you can go check those out, and happy listening.
Absolutely. Again, that's afa.net/thestand if you want to look at some of the stuff we have written. And until next week, everybody, continue to share truth and apply scripture.